A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson, on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, thanks for waking up with Repco Light on this Saturday morning. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, on today's show, are you thinking about putting your house up for sale? Now, we're in the studio with Roger Nyheis from Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty, and he's got the scoop on the current housing market and advice on how to get top dollar for your home.
And we're also going to discuss that unsightly spot on your ceiling. You know, the one that gets a little bit darker and a little bit bigger every time your kids take a bath.
Or when you get an entire week of rain, like we have this week. You got to love spring break. If you've got a water stain that's starting on your ceiling, we're going to help you deal with that. And then in about 15 minutes, if you'd really like to increase the stress and expense of a home improvement project, all you need to do is hire the wrong painter. Now, it's a surefire way to gray your hair, drain your pocketbook, and really complicate your life. Now, of course, if those things don't sound really all that appealing, you could always just hire the right contractor and skip the stress. Well, we've got six surefire tips to help you find the right painting company for your next project.
But first, wouldn't it be nice if you could pick the brain of a home inspector months or even years before you decide to sell your house? Wouldn't it be nice if you knew the number one problem that home inspectors encounter? Lucky for you, we have Dave Stedging from ABI Inspection Services in the studio with us today. Dave, thanks for being here.
Glad to be a part.
Now, Dave, we know that with all the home inspections that you do, you find all kinds of different problems that potentially arise. Correct. Is there a most common issue that you run into that people should be aware of?
Water is our number one issue. Both water getting in from the outside that's not supposed to be getting in, and also water inside or moisture inside that's not being exhausted or vented properly.
So how does that water manifest itself? What should homeowners or potential buyers be looking for? Where should they be looking for these problems with water?
I would say let's start at the top. Chimneys, especially in the older homes, masonry chimneys can be and quite often are a source of water or water leakage.
Mm-hmm.
Both the caps being cracked, the masonry or the brick coming apart possibly, the flashing being loose, any number of reasons that can be causing water. And quite often people, they see a chimney as being a permanent fixture. It's masonry. It's going to last forever. That's far from the truth. The water gets into the brick. Brick is very porous. It causes all kinds of problems, all kinds of damage. And generally, people call the roofer. They figure because mm-hmm. it's coming from up above, it must be the roofer's fault.
Right.
But not necessarily. A good mason, can take care of pretty much any masonry chimney problem that you may have.
So how can people find out, you know, if people are concerned and they want to look, you know, is my chimney, you know, causing any of these problems? Do they have to get on the roof to do that?
Well, that's the very best, is to get up on the roof. If you're not comfortable being on the roof, sometimes you can inspect it from the attic space. If you're, you know, generally people are willing to get in the attics, although most people don't seem to get into their attics like they should. It's a good idea to check it out once in a while. But anyway, they can see the masonry as it where it comes down through the roof or down through the attic space, and they can see, you know, moisture stains, possibly moisture itself. If it's raining or the snow's melting, whatever it might be. And then while they're up there, the soil pipes is another thing. I know that'll be the next thing we'll talk about, but soil pipes would be the next thing that they ought to be keeping an eye on from the attic space as well, actually.
Okay, so check that out. And again, you're just looking for water stains, moisture that might have come in. You don't have to be doing this while it's raining.
Nope.
But it certainly, I would imagine, would help
If you have a moisture problem, if you're concerned with a leak or the potential leak, yeah, while it rains, best time. We talk about not liking to do inspections, you know, be out in the rain and in the weather when it's raining, but it's the best time for us to do home inspections, quite honestly, because we find a lot of things that we generally cannot find otherwise. Wet insulation is another problem. You know, you'll find when you're up in the attic space, you may not see the moisture stains, but you'll find wet insulation. I know some of the older homes, we get in the attic spaces and we find the old porcelain wash tubs up there, you know, underneath the leak spot. That's another way for people to fix leaks, you know. But the porcelain tub
wow,
up in the attic.
That's great.
So.
I think if you get up there and you see buckets full of water,
yeah,
I think that's a good sign that there's
that's
a moisture
probably
problem.
A good sign, yes, exactly.
I could be a home inspector.
Yeah.
The soil pipes are something that we see very regularly. The rubber is cracked on them.
That gasket, that boot that goes around
the rubber itself, the boot itself. Yeah, usually it's a – well, sometimes it's a plastic, sometimes it's a metal frame, but the boot itself, the rubber gasket. 10 to 12 years between ultraviolet and just the pressure that's on it, we will see that has cracked, and water sometimes can get in through that. The couple options there, you can caulk it. You can replace the entire unit if you want, mm-hmm. which is not a bad idea. Another thing, they now have a retro unit that you can buy from the big boxes, and that literally slides right over the top of the existing, and we'll take care of the issue quite often as well.
So that's something a homeowner could
take care very, of very easily if they're comfortable being up on the roof, or hire someone to get on the roof for them. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. What other areas should people be looking for moisture? Are there any other areas up high that they need to be looking for?
On the roofs, there's always things like skylights and things like that. Any penetrations that go through the roof, anytime you put a hole through a roof, you got to make sure that that's all put together properly. And then along with that, as far as flashing details, there's an item called a kick-out flashing, which is located where a shingled roof dies into a sided wall. It's hard to describe it exactly. It'd be a good idea for people maybe to look that up online, possibly.
We'll put a picture on our website, so repcolite.com. Just go to the On the Radio tab, find the Home Improvement Show, and then we'll have this episode posted with pictures of what you're looking for that kickout flashing.
Yeah, we find a lot of houses that are missing kickout flashings. When the industry was going crazy and subcontractors took over, it just seemed to be something that got overlooked. It's a flashing, so it's considered, okay, that must be, and it's dealing with a roof, so it must be a roofer situation, but yet it really has to be installed at the time the siding is going on. And so it's just one of those things that got past people, and then we see the damage after the fact. People, again, they can, if they're familiar with vinyl siding especially, it's quite easy to remove when it's warmer. It's a little bit softer. It's a little
more pliable. Pull the vinyl siding off a little bit.
You can pull the vinyl siding off below that overhang location and see once if there's any water damage going on. Sometimes it'll be even bad enough where it'll show up inside. I know we had one where it showed up in the basement. And it was a stone wall, so there was no siding. They couldn't remove the siding. It was a very, very expensive process to fix.
They examine their house looking for kick-out flashing, and a lot of them are going to find that there's none there.
Yes.
There is a fix for it. There's a...
You can install kick-out flashings. You can buy kick-out flashings. I know that some of the local supply houses have vinyl ones to match the different colors of vinyl siding. Roofers now will bend their own out of step flashing, or I know one roofer that bends them out of copper to make them really nice. It's a simple little fix that can be installed after the fact that works in accordance or along with the flashing that's existing there, whether it's step flashing or solid flashing, and it's just a little slice through the siding so the water kicks outside of the siding instead of dropping back behind the siding.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Dave Stedging from ABI Inspection Services, and he's giving us the lowdown on moisture problems. We've talked about chimneys, we've talked about flashing. Where else are we going to find moisture problems?
Decks are another problem. Deck flashing should be installed over the top of the rim joist, which you can normally see if you can get underneath your deck at all. If there's a sided wall below it, you definitely want to make sure that there's a deck flashing over the top of the rim joist. You can see the small piece of metal that comes down the face a little bit. But then along with that, if there's vinyl siding underneath it and all there is a J-channel there, you're going to want to pull siding loose and take a look and see if there's any moisture damage going on back behind there. The J-channel itself does not stop the water from getting back behind the siding again. The water will come down the wall, come down that rim joist, and still tuck back behind that J-channel. And so there really needs to be multi-pieces of flashing installed to really keep the water off the wall.
So let's say I go under my deck and take a look, and I don't see anything there. Who do I call? How do I get this resolved?
Generally, I would think you could get a general contractor in there, a handyman, a remodeling contractor. It depends on how extensive the situation is, how long it's been that way, and if there's damage, how bad is the damage?
Right, because all we're talking about is putting the new flashing on that should be there.
Right.
If you pull vinyl off and you see there's a huge water problem,
then
that's another issue to take care of.
Yeah, then you're into reconstruction as well, right. And it could even get into structural too.
But that's why this is so important to look at now.
So
just
important.
Take a look.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you can catch it at whatever stage it's at, it's going to be better than catching it a year from now.
That's for sure.
What other areas do you run into moisture issues?
Well, when we talked about being up in the attic looking at soil pipe possibly leaking or around chimneys and things like that.
Sure.
Another source of moisture, again, up in the attic space is bath fans venting into the attic space. Maybe no bath fan at all. And so that's something to keep a close eye on. Bath fans and kitchen exhaust fans not being vented properly to the outside.
Dave, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here with us. Now, if our listeners want to get a hold of you for an upcoming house that they're looking at buying and they want you to go through it, or even a seller who wants you to look it over before they put it on the market, how do they get a hold of you?
They can find us on the web at abiinspectionservices.com, or they can call our office at 616-396-9659.
And how far out do you go? Do you just do Holland, or do you do surrounding areas? How far will you travel?
We are all over western Michigan and beyond. We travel up to, Big Rapids and down to Kalamazoo and Portage, South Haven. Yeah, we will travel. We've built relationships with realtors over the years, and so wherever they want us to go, we pretty much will go.
Perfect.
Awesome. That's abiinspectionservices.com.
Yes, sir.
Dave Stedjink from ABI Inspection Services. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, here on Wood Radio 1300 and 106.9 FM. When we come back, we're going to give you 6 tips to make sure you hire the right contractor for your next project. That's right after the break, so stay tuned.
What if there was a paint so special that you had to seek it out? No, not like that. Not that far. Much closer. Like your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Yep, you got it. Because if finding that paint makes you and your walls beam with pride, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, thanks for joining us so bright and early on a Saturday morning. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, we've all heard the horror stories that occur when people hire the wrong contractors to work on their homes.
Right. Work that's done poorly, that takes forever to finish, homes that are demolished. Now, I read of an instance not too long ago, and yeah, it's a worst case scenario, but I've read of an instance where a couple bought a new house, a historic home.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a contractor to do just a little digging around the foundation. You know, I think they were trying to fix a leak, a leaky basement.
Right.
Now, long story short, he was the low bid, and so they hired him, thinking they were going to save some money. Now, in the end, he excavated just a little too aggressively, and one of the foundation walls just happened to, collapse. Now, that in turn caused that side of the house to collapse, which in turn caused the rest of the house to collapse onto the neighbor's house, which in turn also collapsed.
That is not a very good way to make a first impression on your new neighbor.
No, it's definitely not. It's more memorable, though, than walking over with baked goods. You
got
to say that.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, it's an extreme situation, sure, but there's a lot of truth in the whole thing. Hire the wrong contractor for your project, and things can go poorly quickly.
But the good news is that it's not difficult to find a good one, a reputable one, a quality contractor for your next project. And while we're going to focus specifically on painting contractors, this advice would apply to any professional that you hire to do work on your home or your business.
Now, all right, the very first step is to simply do some planning. Before you meet the contractors, before you even call them, take some time and just plan out what kind of work you want done. Take a morning, sit down with your family, with your spouse, with a cup of coffee and a pad of paper, and just work out, what do you want done? What are you expecting out of this project? What's first? What's next? You want to iron out these details and make a list. Make a concise and complete list that you can present to the contractor.
Right.
If you don't do this, there's a really good chance when you actually meet the contractor and start walking through the house, you're going to forget little things that you wanted done. You might even forget big projects that just completely leave your mind when you're talking to them. So make a list, take some time ahead of time, do the planning. That's the first step.
The second step to this whole process is to get multiple estimates and analyze them. Now, you should get at least 2 to 3 estimates. I prefer 3 because then you have some sort of middle estimate in there usually, or at least you have 2 that are closer to one number and 1 that's not so close. So it gives you a better idea as to how much you're actually going to need to pay for this. Let the contractors know that you are getting other bids. Don't let them think that they are the only one out there. Let them know ahead of time. Analyze their estimates. Go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Some contractors out there will give you just a whole number. If they just give you one solid number and no itemized list of what this is going to include, go back and discuss it with them. Any contractor will be happy to tell you exactly what you are paying for, even if they don't spell it out for you.
Right. It's not necessarily a bad thing to see a one line item on an invoice with a price. We're not saying that. A lot of reputable painters, that's how they do it. Mm-hmm. But ask. The main thing is you want to understand what that final price entails. You know, don't just make any assumptions at this point. Are we talking primer? Are we talking two coats of finish? What type of paint is going to be used? Ask all those questions. The contractor will be more than happy to explain and clarify all of that. The bottom line, you want to make sure that you get the work done that you want done. Don't just look at the final price.
Right. The third thing you need to do is ask about their warranty, insurance, and get references. You want to know that they have a warranty. And what kind of a warranty is it? Is it a 1 year? Is it a 2 year? Or do they not have a warranty? Because that might be a red flag if they don't have any kind of warranty on their work.
The next thing to move into is the insurance.
Right.
You know, all painters, all reputable painters are going to be insured.
Mm-hmm.
And an uninsured painter is simply an unnecessary risk. There is no reason to go and hire somebody who's uninsured. People think they're going to save money that way. You don't. The problem with an uninsured painter is that you, as the homeowner, open yourself up for potential liability if any accidents occur on the home, you know, at the home with any of the people, even on the painting crew.
Right.
You could be liable for damages or for injuries or all of that stuff. There are more than enough contractors out there who are insured. Hire those.
Right. And while you're talking to them about warranty and insurance, ask for references. They should be happy to give you references, customers of theirs who have been happy with their work. And once you get those references, call them. Don't just take the list and chuck it in the trash. Call the references.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're giving you some tips, surefire ways to make sure you get the right contractor the next time you hire somebody to do some work in your home. Now, we just talked about planning ahead of time, getting multiple estimates, asking about warranties and insurance. What's next, Betsy?
The fourth thing that you need to be aware of is their business conduct, because believe it or not, this matters. And this is your first clue as to if they're going to be good on your job or not. How are your phone calls handled? Do they get back to you promptly? Do you go days without hearing from them? That could be a red flag if that's the case.
How are the meetings conducted? You know, when they schedule a time to come out, are they there on time? Do they show up late?
Right.
Do you get somebody who doesn't show at all and then gives you a call a day later or so with a bunch of excuses?
Right.
This is the best foot forward stage of your negotiations with them. This is the point where they're trying everything, or should be, to make themselves look as professional as possible. If the best you're getting right now are day late phone call returns and somebody not showing up for a meeting, that is a definite red flag as to how things are going to progress further down the road.
Right. The fifth thing that you need to do is request that they use a quality paint. Don't try to save money on a cheaper product. Do your research. Find a good product that you're going to be happy with. A quality paint is going to cover better, which means less coats for him, less time for him. It's going to be more durable for you, and it's going to be washable, so you can scrub it up and it's going to last longer for you.
The last tip is pretty simple. Don't pay until the work is finished. You want to have time to look over the finished product before you hand over your money. Now, you might need to pay for some supplies ahead of time, maybe primer, maybe finish paint. Some contractors work that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the entire job. Never write that check, that full check, and hand it over until you've had time to look over the project for a day or two. Make sure it looks good. And then if you're happy, pay promptly. Get the check off right away. Let the contractor move on to his next project.
Right. They always like to get paid right away.
Everybody likes to get paid
away. Right. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, on Wood Radio 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And remember, you can find us online at repcolight.com. Now, water stains on a ceiling can be a daunting problem. People aren't really sure how to go about fixing that. And with all the rain that we've had this past week, this is probably pretty timely. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about how you cover up that brown spot on the ceiling that's starting to grow and make sure it doesn't bleed through your next layer of paint. We'll cover that when we come back, so stay tuned.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, thanks for listening. Hope everybody out there is enjoying the morning so far. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, I have to admit, there is nothing worse than flopping down on the couch to watch your favorite sporting event. Mine would be hockey. And I'm sitting there, and I'm so ready to watch all the fights that are going to happen. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's a giant brown mark on the ceiling that has a little drip of water that's threatening to fall on my head. And I'm ready to take off my gloves and go to town on the spot in the ceiling.
So water spots on a ceiling are things that instill a certain sense of fear in most homeowners.
Yes.
Or utter rage.
Or fighting.
In other ones. The deal is, it's a very frustrating thing because you know when you see a water spot, first you've got to deal with how do I take care of that so my ceiling doesn't look so filthy and terrible and gross and disgusting.
Right.
There's that.
Yep.
But then there's the whole, what is causing this?
Yes.
You know, is
that's
it plumbing?
That's the terrifying part.
Exactly. Is it a roof leak? Is it plumbing? We don't know. Water spots instill a certain sense of fear, definitely. But the good news is that they can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And often they're not as bad as you might initially think. Now, the first thing you need to do is just identify the source of the leak. And as you do that, remember, water can run several feet along pipes and rafters before dropping onto a ceiling. Now, that makes the source of these leaks sometimes very difficult to find.
Right.
I know my parents had that. They had a breezeway ceiling that started to have a water spot on it.
Mm-hmm.
A leak was happening. They ripped a big section of that roof out or ceiling out. And the spot, actually, they had to get a roofer there.
Right.
Days and days later, bunch of holes later, the roofer pointed out the problem was 30 feet away. Water runs. You got to be looking for that. Be aware of that. It's not always easy to find. It's not directly overhead every single time.
Right. Now, if you have a second floor on your home, there are a number of other places you can look. If there's a bathroom up there, there's a good chance that that might be where the water is coming from. Check for leaky toilets, failing caulk around the tub, or even overeager bathers if you have children.
A little bit of splashing can cause some problems.
Yep.
It could be a window with a bad seal. It could be a leaky pipe. It could even be poorly insulated pipes with condensation on them.
And if it's none of those things, if the only thing above this spot is your attic, then you're going to need to start checking the roof to see if there's a leak from there.
So get up into your attic and take a look. You're looking for areas that are darker than the surrounding roof sheathing. You know, that could be the potential leak. Mold loves moisture. So if you find a lot of mold up there, you've at least narrowed or pinpointed probably the point where it's entering the house.
Right. You want to take a look at the underside of your roof insulation. Water affects that insulation way more quickly than the other building materials up there. So look for discoloration, wet, moldy insulation, and insulation that's falling apart and has deteriorated. That's a pretty good sign that you found your leak.
Now, the other thing to consider is if this is happening in the winter, it could be an ice dam that's pushing water back into the attic. It could even be driving wind and rain, forcing it into a gable vent or a roof vent or something like that. So it's not necessarily every time a great big hole in your ceiling or your roof. It could be any of these other, you know, kind of once in a while issues that crop up, but you do need to figure out what it is before you move on.
Right. And once you have found that leak, you need to repair it because just leaving it go is going to cause you so many more problems. It's going to get worse. It's going to cost you more money. So fix it and then move on to repairing the stain on the ceiling.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about water stains on a ceiling and how frustrating they are. We just addressed the beginning step. The very first step is to find the source of the leak and fix that. Once you've done that, now it's time to just, right, paint over that spot on the ceiling and you're good. Is that right, Betsy?
Well, don't just paint over it with the two coats of paint of the original paint that you painted the ceiling with. That stain will just come back, especially if that paint is latex, which 9 times out of 10, it is. If you do that, the stain will continue to come back. You need to use an oil-based primer if it's a little bit lighter color of a stain. Oil-based primer will seal that stain, then you can paint over it with the latex paint. So use that as a first step. Repcolite has a fantastic product. It's called ProFlow. It's an interior oil primer. It'll work great for sealing that stain out.
And that's for most ceiling stains that you're going to run into, most water stains on a ceiling. If you do have a bigger issue, sometimes the stains are very dark or very severe, then you would want to transition to a stain-blocking primer, specifically a stain-blocking primer. And the one we recommend would be Bin from Zinsser. Now, it's a white pigmented shellac. It's very thin, like water, so it can be a little bit of a pain to work with.
Right.
It stinks, so you're going to want to make sure you ventilate, possibly even consider a respirator with a charcoal filter. But the thing with Bin, the reason we recommend it, despite all of that, is that this is the silver bullet product. This is going to solve that problem. Most contractors who have to deal with an issue like this, this is the product they'll go to over any other product out there. There are competitors like Kills and other products that say they're stain blockers. Bin is the one that most contractors will go to as their product of choice.
Right. And fire and water damage restoration professionals use this product. It's their go-to product when they have issues. So this is the one that you want to use. And the bonus is it comes in a spray. If you just have a small spot up there, you can just spray that little spot and you're good to go. So that's a nice feature. No brushes or anything like that.
Whatever primer you end up using, you just really need to spot prime the area with the water stain and then let it dry completely.
Right. And once you've let it dry completely, it's time to paint the ceiling. And when I say paint the ceiling, I do mean the entire ceiling.
Now, not everybody wants to hear that. In fact, I would dare say most people don't want to hear that.
Everyone's jaws are dropping and they're very angry with me right now.
But this is the thing. Everybody who's got an issue like this, when they come into the store at Repcolite, they hope that we're going to be able to recommend that they can just paint that spot and call it good.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Nope.
You know, unless you just repainted it.
Right.
If you just painted it, you might get away with it.
Yep.
But if it's been up there for a year or so, even paint from the same bucket that you used isn't going to match. You're going to see a lighter spot because surface contaminants, things in the air, if there's a smoker in the house, any of those things is going to make that ceiling darker. So when you go with your new paint, it's going to show up as a very white spot. So you're going to have to paint the whole ceiling. But before you do that, we recommend that you paint that one area, that spot that you just sealed with primer, paint that with one light coat of your ceiling paint. Just feather it out around the edges and then paint the entire ceiling with one coat.
Right. And at Repcolite, we have a fantastic product by Benjamin Moore. It's their waterborne ceiling paint. It's specifically formulated for ceilings. It's a very dead flat finish, which is going to hide little imperfections that could be on your ceiling. It's super easy to work with. Very minimal splatter, which is fantastic, dries quickly, and the best part is it can be tinted to any color you want, and it stays flat, because sometimes when you add color, it gives the product a little bit of a sheen. This one will stay flat, so any color you want on the ceiling.
That's Benjamin Moore Waterborne Ceiling Paint. Can't recommend that enough. That's perfect for these situations.
Right.
This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on Wood Radio 1300 and 106.9 FM. And don't forget, we're online and looking pretty good at repcolite.com, so check that out. Now, coming up next, do you have a full house? And I don't mean the poker kind. I mean, do you literally have people stacked on top of people in order to make things fit in your home? Do you need a bigger space? Are you going to have to sell your house? Well, when we come back, we're going to be in the studio with Roger Nyheis from Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty, and he's going to tell us exactly what we can expect when we put our house on the market. That's coming up when we come back, so stay tuned.
What if there was a paint where each drop was engineered to be smarter than you ever thought possible?
Announcing our summa cum laude graduates.
So when a color didn't go on evenly, it would reshuffle each pigment to reveal its truest, richest state. If a paint could realize the fullest potential of any color, is it still paint? Aura Interior from Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repcolite Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300
and 106.9 FM.
Well, it's Saturday, and we're happy to be spending our morning with you. I'm Dan Hanson.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, selling a home isn't something that most of us do on a regular basis, or at least we hope not. But life happens. Things change. We outgrow our current home, and we have to find something new.
Right. A lot of questions go through our heads at that point. You know, what's the market like? How fast is my house going to sell? How can I get top dollar? Well, we're in the studio with Roger Nyheis from Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty, and he's got answers and a little advice for sellers. Roger, thanks for being here.
Dan, it's my pleasure. It's a real honor to be here with you guys today.
Okay, so let's throw this scenario out there. Let's say I want to sell my house. What are the chances that I'm going to sell it quickly and that I'm going to get a really great price on it? What is a girl like me to do in this market?
All right, what you need to do is get your house ready to sell.
Okay.
Okay. You have to look at it now as a house for selling, not necessarily a house for living. By getting it ready to sell, I mean look at it very critically. Look at it as a buyer would look at it. Think about all the little things you've been meaning to fix up. All the little things you've been meaning to clean up. Things that you're just putting up with because you don't have the time. Those need to be fixed.
Okay.
In order to get your house ready to sell, buy some of these big plastic tubs. Get all the clutter in the tubs and store the tubs as neatly as you possibly can. Get rid of all your personal photographs. Get rid of all your personal trophies. Get rid of all your calendars on the wall. Mm-hmm. This isn't your house anymore. You're getting it ready for somebody else. And then make sure it's updated. Okay. Make sure that it doesn't look like it hasn't been touched for the last 40 years. A lot of things you can do. Appliances, paint. Paint. Yeah, there's a thought. flooring. And then the bigger stuff, the roof, the furnace, the water heater, the air conditioner, that kind of stuff. If you want to sell it quickly and at a good price, all of that stuff has to be up to date.
Now, what do you mean by up to date?
Within the last 10 years on the mechanicals. Some of the flooring stuff beyond 10 years, that's about the limit. But the mechanicals, furnace, water heater, if I see one that's less than 10 years old or about 10 years old, I'm okay. Roof, generally, we figure 25 years. So if it's been up there, if those shingles have been up there for less than 25 years, you're good. It's just a matter of, you know, how updated you want to make it. The more updated it is, the easier it is to sell.
Right. But there is also that, you know, that double-edged sword thing where there's so many things I could throw money into. Am I going to get my money back out of these updates? But again, when you're saying 10 years for things like a hot water heater and things like that.
Some things are necessary. Some things are cosmetic.
Mm-hmm.
The necessary things you have to do and you can't really think about, am I going to get my money back out of it? The cosmetic things, you can ask that question, but I like to tell my clients that's not really the right question. The right question is, how badly do I want to sell the house? And I want to do everything as your realtor to make that house as attractive as I possibly can. And I don't want to put a financial burden on you, but when you're selling a $250,000 house, you do have some leeway. Now, we're making an assumption. Obviously, there are houses that are priced at less than $100,000. There are prices up to $7 million. I saw one the other day. But the average, the attractive house right now, the house that's most in demand right now, is an updated, less than 40-year-old house priced at or around $250,000.
How long is that on the market?
The ideal situation in the right location, that house will probably be on the market for less than a week.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow. I better be ready to move.
It can go very, very quickly. Now, that's not a week and then you move out.
Right, right.
Because chances are your buyer is going to have to borrow money. That's about a six-week process.
Okay.
We went through a whole new set of federal regulations, and we don't know whether those now are going to go away and we're going back to the old way or what.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the mortgage brokers, as opposed to banks, can get through the process a little bit quicker. And there are all kinds of financing options. If you're getting an FHA mortgage or a VA mortgage, the process takes a little longer sometimes than just a straight 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
But still, you're looking at a very quick turnaround. If the house is in that range, in the right location, you can move very quickly.
Yeah. Now, again, no guarantees.
Right.
Every once in a while, we'll run across run that we tell the buyers should go in a week and it takes 6 weeks.
Sure.
Every once in a while, we say this one's going to be a tough sell because they refuse to update the carpet. They refuse to take out the green appliances.
The avocado.
Right. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Waiting for it to come back into style.
Yeah. It will come back.
So a buyer walks into something like that and sees dollar signs because they're going to now have to update it, that house may take longer. But it is location, location, location. That is a truism in real estate. If it's in the right area, if it's in a desirable school district or a desirable neighborhood, and it's in good shape and reasonably priced, it will go very quickly.
Cool. If you're just tuning in, we're in the studio with Roger Nyheis from Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty, and we've just been talking about the market right now for selling a home, how fast it's going to go, what it's going to take to sell it. Roger, what other advice do you have for sellers just to make sure that they get the best price out of this deal?
Well, let me cut that question in half, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
The
do
best
whatever.
Advice I have for sellers is have a plan B.
Okay.
Because it's likely your home will sell quickly, I don't want to be responsible for putting you out on the street with your kids and your pets. So I want to know, before I list your house, that you do have a plan B. We'll do everything we can to find you a suitable house within the time frame that we have, which is going to be 6 or 7 weeks. But if we can't, I want you to tell me that you know where you're going to go if you have to move out before your dream house becomes available.
So the big point is make sure you've got a plan B.
Yeah.
What's next?
The next point you asked about, get the right price. That is with a decent house. Now, take that any way you want to take it. I don't know how to get more specific than that.
Mm-hmm.
But a decent house in a decent location is going to bring what the house is worth. You might be able to get more than the house is worth. But there's a caveat with that. There's a danger in the appraisal process. Your buyer's lender is going to send an independent appraiser into that house.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to check what other houses in your neighborhood have sold for and other houses of similar size, shape, build, whatever. And they have a process and software where they can make one house sort of look like another to compare apples to apples.
Okay.
If that appraisal comes back way less than the agreed upon sales price, the deal falls through because the buyer won't be able to get the money.
Sometimes, and you've seen that happen.
I have seen that happen numerous times. Occasionally, we can get a renegotiation going, but usually the seller doesn't want to wait. The seller's been convinced he can get that price. The seller gets convinced it was a bad appraisal. He can find a better one. Sellers usually say done deal if the house doesn't appraise.
So what's the solution for a seller?
The solution for a seller is to next time around, and you can't do anything now except go to the next time around,
yep,
price it a little bit lower. You know what a licensed appraiser has said this house is worth. Now, appraising is not an exact science. There will be variables, but you know what this appraiser has said, so you're really taking a chance if you're going to put that list price back up there where it was originally.
Now, one thing I come across when I tried to sell my house, mm-hmm, I wanted to do it myself.
Sure.
I feel like I'm going to get the most money out of it that,
yep,
way. I've got a realtor sitting with me right now. I can ask this question with no strings attached.
Who's breathing fire on you at the moment? Yes.
Why should I hire you rather than do it myself?
Several reasons. One is I can give you a price that's going to stand up to the market and to an appraisal. I can let you know what that price is so you're not out there shooting in the dark. Another thing is the National Association of Realtors has statistics that say in the past year, the average realtor-assisted sale, went for more than $40,000 more than the average for sale by owner.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So you will likely get more for your house if you hire a realtor. I had a personal experience, and they know I'm sharing this, and they're happy with that, where I said, what do you think your house is worth in the first listing appointment? And they gave me a number. And I did my due diligence, and I did my market analysis the same way an appraiser would, and I came up with $30,000 more than they did.
Wow.
Convinced them we could sell it for that, and we did. So they paid a 6% realtor fee and pocketed $19,000 toward their new house.
See, and that's something people don't think about. I didn't
right.
think about. I always assumed that the price I ask is going to be higher, but you're saying I don't know the market very
exactly.
well. I could come in way lower than I should
it's
and
very,
leave money
very
on
possible.
The table.
Yep.
Roger Nyheis from Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty.
Thanks for taking time out of your day to be here with us.
My pleasure.
If our listeners want to get in contact with you, how do they do that?
Simply call Keller Williams Lakeshore in Holland, 546-2500 in the 616 area code. It's RogerRan@KW.com. RogerRan at KW.com. One of the easiest email addresses in captivity.
Roger Nyheis from Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty. Thanks for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
That's all the time we've got today on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our past broadcasts, you can check out our Home Improvement Show archives at RepcoLight.com.
And if you have any questions or topics that you'd like us to cover, please email us at radio@RepcoLight.com.
Now, coming up next time, we're going to be speaking with Hannah Yeo from Benjamin Moore about Benjamin Moore's new color of the year for 2017. It's purple. And how do you decorate with that? Well, Hannah's got some advice that's going to actually, believe it or not, have you itching to try a color that you may never have considered using before. Now, that and more is coming up next time on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And your kitchen sink. Thanks for listening.